You may not believe in him, but he's watching. These are tales of El Chamuco. Stories, folklore, legends, leyendas, cuentos y más. This is Spooky Tales. Listen, escuchen at your own risk. Hi everyone, this is Christina.
And this is MJ.
And today we have a guest with us. Do you want to tell us about yourself, introduce yourself, your podcast and all that?
Sure thing. Hi, everybody. MJ, Christina. Thank you for having me. I'm Liz. I'm 50% of the co-hosts of, 50% of the hosts of Hijas de tu Madre. It's a true crime comedy podcast with pretty bad amateur comedy inspired by Tutia. And yeah, we just wanted to bring like true crime to like the Hispanic community, Latino community, people of color community. I know sometimes it can be like a complicated relationship, but I think there's a lot of really good entertaining stories out there, or stories that are like, oh, like that I feel informed now, like I know how to defend myself or something, that are still valuable. So I think it's like maybe in a flavor that you're more familiar with. And then, I don't know, it's just, they're funny. Sometimes they're just funny, like dumb criminals or something.
I'm here for it.
That sounds great. And who's not tired of the two white lady duos true crime podcast? Me? I am. I know I am.
Oh, I like stopped listening to that. And no offense to our pod family on Twitter that do this.
No, I'm talking about like the super famous ones, not little indie podcasts. I'm like literally talking about two of them. My Favorite Murder and fuck, what's the other one that she says full body chills all the fucking time? I fucking hate it.
Crime Junkie.
I hate them.
Shots yes, fired. Like
they can come for me. They're not even listening to this. Now let's get to our spooky topics. I have an spooky stories today because I checked our messages, which I missed last time. So this was sent in to us via Instagram. And again, if you have a spooky story experience and you want us to read it out in the podcast, just send it to us either via DM, through any of our socials, or email it to spookytales@gmail.com. We want them. We need them, right?
Yeah.
Right,
MJ? Yes, yes. I'm nosy. I want to know everything.
Yeah, yeah. So this person says, my tia owns a trailer home and weird things happened, but at first it was just kind of like we blew it off. It was normal as can be, right? And so one night she went to bed, and my tia has two kids, and she sleeps with them, like co-sleeps. But one night she was sleeping, and she woke up, and she was like, kids, stop like kicking, stop moving me. But the kids were at grandma's house. The kids were not there. So who was doing this, right? And so she had cameras in the room, and they looked over the cameras the next day, and they saw a shadow man, shadow person with a black hat.
Oh.
And there was no legs.
A cholo. Just kidding.
And, and yeah, that is what they saw on camera.
Oh, no.
I've seen that. Okay, everybody who listens to this, the podcast, and has heard me, what's it called? That is the Hat Man. Seen it.
Yeah, you have.
I'm scared. I'm glad. I have not seen shadow people, but I believe everybody that does for sure. And I'm like, oh my gosh, please don't show yourself to me, please.
Yeah, same.
You know what's funny? I see them very often. However, we always bring up shadow people. Every damn episode. But it's fine.
Every so often, not every episode.
Well, I think we had it where with our last guest, didn't we? Yeah, we did, because we were like bonding
the
over
one before.
Yeah,
our last guest, the haunted houses.
We were with him. I was like, oh, you see shadow people too? Like what?
One of us.
One of us. One of us. And like they don't freak me out, but there was like two times in my entire life to this day that I saw something like a shadow and I was absolutely scared. So they're not always like, you know, it's not always like fun and games.
Is it ever though? I don't
know. I mean, I don't know. I kind of just see it and I'm like, it is what it is. And then I just move on with my life.
But today we're talking about a entity that needs no introduction. We know it, him, I don't know. What is he? Is it a he? He is, right? Anyway, he has many names. Satanás.
Satanás.
Beelzebub. Something with a J that I don't remember ever.
A so jinn. Many names.
Oh, well, those are, I don't know what those are. We've talked about them.
I've always heard that there's a connection between the Muslim jinn?
Yes.
The Muslim jinn and Christian demons, that they're like one and the same almost.
Mm-hmm. We mentioned that in our Shadow People episode.
In the Shadow People, and there was another one in the White Chivo.
Oh, wait, no, that's what I was thinking.
The White Chivo.
Mentioned them. Also, Chamuco or Chamaco, which I had somehow never heard. I don't know how I went all my life without hearing that specific name. Apparently, it's very common.
Yeah, that's what my mom would call it, I think, to make it a little bit less scary. But, I mean, it just sounds like Chamuco. I don't know.
It has like a very oof sound, you know, like a very like a powerful
one might say a spooky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a spooky.
Yes, true. Yeah. Apparently, there's like a very common like, you know how parents love to threaten with like el cucuy or la llorona, but there's another one that they'll be like, si no te duermes, el chamuco vendrá y te jalará los pies.
No, thank you.
For our Spanish challenge friends, if you don't sleep, the devil will come and pull your legs, is what that translates to.
I would also like to know why in a lot of Latin culture, like spirits and stuff, pull people's legs. I've always been freaked out about that. Like, why can't you pull my arm? Fine. But my legs, it just freaks me out.
So I'm going to be sharing like two of the, I feel like they're one of the most commonly told legends about the devil, specifically in Mexican culture. And, you know, feel free to interject with your thoughts. I feel like you probably have heard versions of these as well, both of you.
Okay.
I'd be surprised if it was new. So the first one I'm going to share, there's so many versions of it. Everyone will be like, no, that happened in my town. Like, no, this happens everywhere somehow. And I don't know how. So like there's versions from Tijuana, Sinaloa, Tamaulipas, California, Texas, like the list goes on. Usually it's like something like La Mujer que bailó con el Diablo.
Oh my God. Oh, okay.
Dance with the Devil. Yes. Right. Like, right. You've heard
it. Yes. I have not.
Every
Stockton.
Wait, really?
You've not. Stockton has a version of it. Yeah.
Stockton? No, I
did you say Stockton?
Yeah, Stockton, yeah. California.
That's where I grew up.
Shut up. No way. Yes.
209.
209.
I went to Tokay back in the day. Did anyone go to Tokay? No? No?
No, I've heard of it, though.
No.
Okay.
We always bash Stockton on here, though.
That's okay.
We bash Stockton.
Okay. It's mostly you.
It's mostly me. I bash. What is it? I bash Modesto, Stockton.
I'll tell you why I support you bashing both Madera and Merced, because of their freaking weird, like, road 21 and a half, 22 and a quarter. What the fuck? I don't know what that means.
What does that mean?
So, yeah, the Dance with the Devil, many of them take place in the 1950s, but all the way up to the 1990s, there's versions of this story, but usually not after the 90s. And I wanna know why. Why doesn't this happen in the 2000s or 2010s? Why is no one dancing with the devil then, you know?
He's like, fuck this music. I'm out.
Yeah, he was like, man, this is mumble rap. I'm not here for this.
Yeah, but like now that's we have good. Reggaeton, more reggaeton, you know?
Well, she might be coming back. Who knows? Y'all right. Watch out.
So this version is from Esquinapa, Sinaloa. And it goes, in the year 1980, a group called Los Freddys, which I'm sure you might know.
I love them. Yes.
Yeah, same. But they performed in El Centro Social Hidalgo, which was just a little club in Esquinapa, Sinaloa. And there was a young lady, and I guess her name, guess it. If you get this wrong, I'm going to be disappointed.
Magdalena?
Close. It starts with an M.
Mary?
Maria. Why would her name be Mary? This is like she lives in Mexico.
Casi dice Karen?
Right?
Bentley?
Is it Mackenzie? Anyway, so this young lady, Maria, not Mackenzie, she just turned 21, and she had just broken up with her boyfriend, but that wasn't going to stop her from having a good time. So the day came, and she, along with hundreds of other people, were getting ready for the concert. And, you know, the music was popping, people were dancing, and many men attempted to ask Maria for a dance, but she declined every single one. And then a very well-dressed man in a black suit asked her to dance, and she agreed. So they danced all night, and then it was over, and Maria asked for the man's address after he dropped her off at her house. And so the next day, Maria goes to see him at this address, and then she is completely shocked to find an abandoned house at the address. And through a window, she observes the man, and she was terrified at what she saw. Instead of feet, she saw hooves and red, fiery hands. And she ran away in fear, and she wasn't seen for days. Later, it was discovered that she died by suicide. She couldn't cope with the fact that she had been dancing with the devil all night.
Fuck that.
No.
Mm-mm. Yeah, and this version is a little different. Some of the versions, she is still living at home with her parents, even though she's in between 18 and 21, obviously, and she has to ask permission to go out,
she's
and they don't
married.
Let her, and she sneaks out.
Yeah, yeah. And she's not married in a Mexican household.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so she sneaks out, and then at some point when she's dancing at night, she sees the hooves. So in some versions, she sees it during the dance. In other versions, I think there's another version where, like, they're, like, dancing and, like, spinning and spinning and spinning. And then, like, the devil, like, spins her all the way to hell and, like, she's never seen again. Like, that's another version.
You know what's funny? The day that we cover El Diablo, I also get, like, I've been listening to a lot of podcasts and they cover El Chamuco, too. I was like, this is weird.
This is
weird. Wow, that is fucking weird. What the hell?
Kris Jenner works hard, but the devil works harder. Dang.
Yep. Yep.
Speaking of, actually, you guys literally just reminded me. So I grew up in Stockton, and there's this place called the Flamingo Club.
Yes, that is the place I was talking about when I said this happened in Stockton.
Oh my God, really? But I remember my parents were like even when we would like drive by, they're like, no, don't even look over there. Like the devil like shows up there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I want to go there.
Okay, my other story is another one that I feel like everybody knows someone that this happened to. Like, and it's usually a tío, the tío who drinks too much. I assure you, once you hear it, you'll be like, yeah, my tío said that. Because I have a tío who said this happened to him. Okay, so this legend, just like the one I shared before, has versions everywhere. And it's usually like a rancho. And so this particular version is from the Mexican state of Guerrero. So there was a man and his name was Don Jose, and he was a campesino, a farm worker. And he was used to getting a drink at the local bar after a long day of work. And one of these nights he went to the bar and he ran into his friends, Don Genaro and Don Joaquin. And they told him that they heard from various women in the town that the devil was roaming around after midnight. One of them saw him in the form of a big black dog. The other one saw him in the form of a bull. And Don Jose, who did not believe these things, scoffed. And he was like, these are the rumors of a bunch of bored housewives. A mí el diablo me pela los dientes, which means like the devil is scared of him and not the other way around. He's not scared of the devil is what that saying would translate to. Except it sounds better in Spanish.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
So the night goes on and then, you know, it comes to the end and Don Jose begins his walk home. While walking, he hears the cries of a baby and he looks around and indeed he finds a baby. And then he picks up the baby. It's a baby boy. And he says, desgraciada y mil veces maldita la mujer que te abandonó, chamaco. ¿Tú qué culpa tienes? which would be like, 1,000 curses to the damned woman who abandoned you, little one. What fault do you have? And so he carries the baby, and as he's walking, the baby is suddenly heavy, and it just gets heavier and heavier. And then at some point, it's too heavy to carry. So he stops, confused, and he looks down at the baby. And then it looks at him, and he says, "Te gustan mis..." Sorry, I can't say this without laughing. "Te gustan mis dientitos, papi?"
I'm Well, you know, she probably pulled off her, like, COVID mask real slowly, like, sexy-like. To show
the baby, the baby boy did this pull off his mask. And said, "Te gustan mis dientes, papito?" Oh, no, my, I made it worse. It's dientitos. "Te gustan mis dientitos, papi?" Which translates to, "Do you like my teeth, daddy?" I can't say that. Fuck. I literally do not say the word daddy. Ugh, it's so gross.
You like my dientitos, daddy?
I'm with you, my Christina.
Teeth, it's what it translates into, father.
Just use father because daddy.
Yes. Yeah, I have issues. I can say papi, it's fine, but not daddy. Me either. Oh my god, fuck. And when it says this, it has giant teeth, red fiery eyes, and horns coming out of his head. And Don Jose's like, "What the fuck?" And he throws the baby, runs. And he was never right after that night. They say that he lost his mind.
Wow.
Yikes. What the hell?
And but does everyone not have a tío that's like, "I was walking and I heard the cries of a baby and then it was like the devil and I never drank again until right now."
See, that's, remember, this goes back to the other things where I was like, if anything's like a baby, I don't fucking trust it. Or a child. I don't trust that. Like, there's no way. There's something evil about it.
I agree.
Yeah. That's like the only thing. If I hear a child in like a cemetery or a disembodied voice or anything, get the fuck out. It's probably el chamuco. Go. Run.
Probably. Shit. Run. Fuck. Move. I don't.
Burn it down. No, actually, no. I don't know if that makes it worse.
No. Yeah.
Just run.
I don't know. But yeah, those are my two stories.
My turn. It's a pretty long one. Okay, so this one's a story my grandma told me. It was told to her by like her parents and stuff. It takes place in Huacasco, Jalisco. This is a story
again
every time. So my grandma didn't get to experience this, but she was told by multiple people growing up. Because she used to actually live in Huacasco. So she was told by multiple people that she knew, you know, aunts, uncles, and her parents and stuff. So the story takes place in the 1930s. Huacasco has a lake near it where the locals used to get their water supply. A few years prior to this incident, to the story, a local priest at the time had a falling out with the people of the town, and he dammed the lake. So he cursed it, le echó una maldición. And, you know, he leaves Huacasco and another priest takes his place. During this time, Huacasco was going through major development and the city decided to install a water pump to make it easier for locals to access, you know, cleaning water, cooking water, whatever. And so it was like an old-fashioned water pump, the one that you had to, like the lever had the lever and you had to go. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, okay, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So in the tradition, like in Latin America, whenever there's like a new development or something, you always get a priest to bless it. Whether it's, you know, you're getting a car, you're getting moving to an apartment, a house. There's a new building that just finished. You know, they for some reason Latinos will get a priest to bless it. So they get this priest and he goes over there to the water pump. He starts blessing when remolino. Came a whirlwind the whirlwind would push the priest, and once his prayer stopped, the whirlwind would stop, and when he would start, the whirlwind would start again. So on the day that he was supposed to bless this water pump, he couldn't, because it would come and go at every time he began the ceremony. It got to the point where they had to contact the higher-ups in the church and get a blessing from a cardinal and the Catholic Church to do an exorcism. So this priest gets permission to go forward with the exorcism.
Wait, you can do exorcisms on objects?
I was going to say.
People. Well, I think so. Like, it was like this kind of like blessing. Well, porque creían que estaba el diablo ahí en la presa.
In the pump? Oh, in the dam?
In the lake.
Interesting.
So I don't know. So this is what, according to, you know, my grandmother, that she was told that the priest had to do an exorcism on this, like, land area. So he gets, you know, the thing to do an exorcism. And again, he tries to do these prayers and blessings. And as before, the whirlwind would pick him up and lift the priest. It got to the point where the priest was lifted and was throwing him around. And this went on for several days. Many eyewitnesses to this. A lot of the locals actually went to see him because it's, like, you know, ceremonial.
I mean, I would go watch this.
I would go watch.
Like, hey, yesterday the priest was trying to bless this and he kept getting picked up by, like, a whirlwind. I'd be like, fuck yeah, I'm there.
But, you know, if today would be like, world star.
Yeah, record it.
This is going on YouTube, on TikTok, on all the socials.
All of it.
So there are many eyewitnesses to this. So several men from the town decided to tie up the priest to the water pump with rope and with chains. So when the whirlwind came, he wasn't able to be not only lifted, but thrown. And according to people that were there, there was, like, this really huge, loud popping and explosion coming from the water pump. And this horrible sound of, like, screaming roaring. And it was, like, from what my grandma told me, that it was, like, deafening. Like, it was just so loud that people had to cover their ears. And, you know, the townsfolk, the people that were there, they were terrified. They started running. It was chaos. And it was so bad that the priest never actually finished this exorcism. The whirlwind kept on, you know, the entire time he's trying to do this, he's tied up to the pump and then the chains. The whirlwind kept on going so loud that the wind was actually, the sound of the wind was drowning out the priest's prayers. So he ended up giving up, and the lake eventually dried, you know, and it's been dry for decades. It is said that, like, the priest in the beginning that dammed the lake was the cause of it, and, you know, the exorcism was never successfully performed. So, yeah, it just dried up. And
wow. So it's still, like, it's still dry.
The priest was never able to successfully remove whatever was there. The lake just went to, you know, just dried. It's a dry lake bed now, and there's nothing there, and it's just dead.
Woof. And do they know why? Like, why was he, what was his beef with the lake?
I don't know. I think he had a falling out with the townspeople, and I was asking my mom, I was like, what? And she was like, you know, there's, you know, because priests are supposed to be so in line with God, and they're only supposed to do good things. And they also have the power to bless and do all this stuff. But she's like, but when priests, you know, they're not all of them entirely good. So when they do curse something, or, you know, cuando hacen una maldición, it's extremely powerful, because it's like someone who's in the path of God actually goes to the path of the devil. And she says that my mother was telling me that there are stories that where priests maldicen a gente and families, and it always ends in tragedy, or, like, their family goes through a lot of stuff. So they have the power to not only do good, but do a lot of evil too.
Holy moly.
Oh.
So, yeah, so this priest ended up, and then I was talking to my mother too about this, because I was like, we were going over what my grandma said. And for our listeners and stuff, Huacasco is not the first time it's been brought up, and it's probably not going to be the last. So me and my mom were, like, bouncing off ideas, and we were like, what if it's because of this priest and his curse that Huacasco is so messed up? Because there's a lot of stuff that happens in that town. There's a lot of death. There's a lot of murders. There's a lot of people. It's like this black hole that draws anything evil in. There's so many stories that comes from this area. It makes you wonder, like, what if it was, like, this priest? You know, after I heard this, I was like, what if it was his fault that there's so much evil here? You never know.
Could be.
Could be. Makes sense. Yeah.
And I have another story. This is going to go almost in line to what Christina said, but this is someone my mother knows. We're going to change the name. So this was, I'm not sure if I told this. I think Christina said I mentioned it a little bit on the Christmas episode.
Yeah, very briefly on...
I think it was the Christmas one, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was the Christmas episode.
So I'm going to tell it again. The story happened in El Día de la Virgen de Guadalupe. It's a holiday that honors the Lady of Guadalupe. It takes place on December 12th. I am going to change the name and we shall call this person Diego. So Diego and a group of friends on the very, very early mornings of this holiday decided to go to a neighbor's farm and they stole a turkey. So they were going to... And they were like teenagers, okay? So they were just like stupid boys. So they were going to kill it and cook it because they were hungry. But halfway like through it, they decided it was best to prank the neighbors. So they defeathered this poor turkey alive. And then they went back and dumped the turkey back in the farm. Because their thing was like, oh, they're going to wake up, go check on the animals. And there's going to be like this monstrosity, like this featherless weird looking thing, and they're gonna freak out and
mm-hmm.
So that was their thing. So and because it's Mexico, even on like religious holidays, it's an excuse for pachanga, you know, drinking, partying.
Yes.
So yeah. So Diego and his friends later that day decided to have like this bonfire party thing. And they get drunk and they start getting rowdy. And Diego and his friends, they realize that there's a stranger walking to them. And this stranger is dressed in these very fancy, very expensive looking clothes. You know, this is a farming community and in Mexico. And they're usually dressed like cowboys. So to see this man in the middle of a farming community, in the middle of the night, dressed in this like businessman attire and looking all like spiffy and stuff, they were like, what the hell is going on here? But you know,
just so out of place.
Yeah, it's so out of place. And they didn't care, you know, at this point in time they were drunk as hell. So this guy, he has a suit on and a fedora, and the fedora is blocking his face, so they can't really
I just want to point out that obviously fedoras are like the root of all evil, because the hat man has a fedora.
This guy has a fashion choice.
So, oh my God. What is that telling us about fedoras? You know,
don't trust men in fedoras.
Nope. Exactly.
Devil approved. Don't do it.
And they said like he also smelled like sulfur, like rotten eggs. So it was like this. They were drunk, so they didn't give a shit. So we're like, whatever, let him party. He smells like rotten eggs, but let's go. And this man starts drinking with them too. They don't ask him his name and he never talks, from what I was told. So the night goes on and the music is playing and they're all drunk, and Diego and one of his friends start dancing. And by the way, this is just a bunch of like teenage boys, not teenage boys, but like 18, 19, and they're all like dancing, and the stranger joins them. And so Diego starts dancing with the stranger. Him and like I think one other person start dancing with this guy. So this man dances with Diego and his friend, and you know, it's later, like they start sobering up and stuff, and they look down at this stranger's feet and he has hooves. And there's everybody in the group notices this, and they kind of like were like, what the hell? And the stranger's just like the entire time hiding his face. So you can't see his face. It's covered by the hat. And they look at each other and they're like, are we seeing things? Are we like witnessing the same thing? And they all agree. And then they turn back to where the stranger was, and he's gone. He's vanished. And as you know, they start sobering up and they're like, what the fuck did we just see? Who was that man? He had like hooves. We didn't see his face. We didn't see his name. He never talked. Who was that man? So Diego and this other guy, actually, you know, they dance with the devil.
Wow.
Nope.
Yeah. And my mama always says, I don't know if this is like a Mexican thing, but my mama always says that cuando haces cosas malas en los días santos, el diablo te visita.
I've heard that. I've heard that too.
And I've heard it from you, MJ. Mm-hmm. I had not heard it before, which in English, it would be on, if you do what, like dumb things on holy
like
days.
Like bad things, devil, on bad things. On holy days, the devil will come visit you.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that. I've heard that before too.
So I don't know if it's true, but all the people on here are people that my mother knows. So this whole group of boys is people that she knows. They're now adults, obviously, but they all tell the same story. they all witnessed the same thing. And I'm like, what the fuck? Now I'm going to be extra good on holidays. Same. In case.
I'm not good on any days, so whatever. No, I'm just kidding.
That's creepy. That's really, really creepy.
And I also want to know why it's like always like dancing with the devil. Like legit, like stories where people
Likes to dance, you know?
Usted la pachanga.
So those guys, the two guys that danced with him, did like anything bad come after? Like, did they have bad luck or anything? Or was it just like a creepy thing?
I'm going to ask my mother and my grandmother for a follow up. But I don't think so. I think they were scared enough where they got their shit together, you know?
Yeah, no, they're like, yeah, no tomo. I'm done. I'm done. Don't drink anymore.
I will not dance anymore. I will not dance and drink from this day on.
And I mean, I don't know. Like, I mean, if you come to think about, like, stealing a turkey is not that big of a deal. But I guess it was enough for the devil to be like, hey, motherfucker, are you fucked up? Hi, I'm here.
Only because it happened on El Día de la Virgen.
I know. If it was any other day, he'd be like, whatever. Teenagers.
Yeah, that's right. A holy day. Mm-hmm. I don't like the hooves. I don't like that. And then we saw the hooves. Like, that just creeps me out so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As patas de cabra, right?
That's how you say it. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the two stories I'm going to tell, they're actually dreams that I've had before. And like, I've never experienced anything awake other than just being super terrified. But I had like, I don't know, like a some sort of devil dream every day for like 2 weeks. And then the last couple freaked me out bad enough that I like went to my mom and I'm like, okay, this is happening. And my brother came and like put holy oil on the walls and the corners and stuff because I was so freaked out. Okay, so the first one, I had a dream that my grandma had passed away and we were having like her funeral at my house. And so all of our family came over to my house. And my mom came and she's like, okay, this family friend, we're going to call them Sara and Diana. They're coming over and you have to be nice and they're going to sleep in your room, which you guys know when things happen, funerals or weddings, whatever, like everyone descends on your house. Right?
Yeah.
So like that just happened. So I was kind of like a little bit annoyed about it, but I'm like, okay, sure. And in my dream, my little niece was like a baby still. So I'm a little annoyed. And when Sara and Diana show up to our house, I show them to my room and then it's time for bed. We go to bed and I'm laying there with my little niece and I just hear Diana start to do like witch chanting. And I'm like, I don't like this at all. And I'm like, can you please stop? And she just looks at me with the evil gaze of death. And I'm like, okay. So I grab my niece and I get up and I walk out. I walk down the hall and this is the part that just freaked me out. But when I get to the end of the hall, I stop because there's like a perfect line of quarters that are on like vertical on their side. And I'm scared to like step over them. But then I'm like, well, I have to get out of here. I have to get to my mom. So I step over the quarters. And as soon as I do that, my baby niece, who's a sweet, innocent baby niece, her eyes roll back in her head. Oh, my gosh. And so I grab her little hands and I start praying and she comes back. And I'm like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. So I run to the garage and I'm trying to tell my mom. And as soon as I start to tell her what happened, like the same thing happened. My little niece's eyes roll back again and I'm like, oh, my gosh. That. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So I told my mom, like, okay, I can't say anything about the devil or think about the devil or the witch or whatever is here. And what's weird is that my family is like, you can't be rude to your guest. And I'm like, it's not a guest. It's a demon or a witch, something. Yeah. But as I'm like panicking, trying to convince my family, like I woke up and I'm like, oh, my gosh.
I would have been terrified.
Yeah. That's creepy.
That the quarters, I'm like, that's so specific and like,
and strange.
What the hell is that? Yeah. I don't know what
it's
that
so
means.
Out of place too.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that so weird? And then my baby niece, like when I had this dream, my niece wasn't a baby anymore, but in my dream she was. And Yeah, I mean, that's just such a creepy thing to attack, you know, like a sweet, innocent baby. When you said you're like the little kids, I'm like,
No, I've had similar dreams to like yours, but it involves my kids. And oh my God, I wake up terrified from them. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. It's awful. Yeah. Okay. And then the second one, this is the most recent one I've had. And this one really freaked me out. And I went back to my mom. I'm like, okay, this was really weird. So I had a dream that I was in like this church courtyard, and I was in a church youth group, which I haven't been since I was like 7. So this is weird. But I'm in this church group with this group of other, you know, young adult people. I say young, I'm 32, but you know, young.
We're still young.
Still young. And there's like a guy, and he looks Middle Eastern, but like, you know, any modern, normal Middle Eastern guy that you would see today. Mm-hmm. And we're talking and we're friends. And we're walking to the theater part of this church thing because we're going to go practice our play. And we walk by this window. And when we walk by this window, I look at our reflection. And like, if I look at him in real life, he's got like jeans and a t-shirt, sneakers, normal guy. But in the mirror, he looks like a Jesus, como un apóstol, like the
apostle.
Oh, like an apostle. Yeah. And like he has like a beard and just like this very like stereotypical depiction of an apostle. And everyone's reflection looks normal, but my reflection looks like I'm in a funhouse mirror. And I'm like, what the frick? And in my dream, apparently I know that when that happens, it's because like a demon is inside you or like around you. Oh my God,
are you serious?
I'm like, oh my gosh. So
wait, is that like legit? Because
no, that's like just in my dream.
I was about to say, because I've had similar dreams. Girl, don't tell me this right now.
No.
Are you freaking out?
These are all my dreams. And so we get to this theater. We get to the theater and we're like going to practice our play or whatever. And the Middle Eastern guy, who's my friend, apparently, he's like, okay, Liz, like, I'm going to go up there. I'm going to practice. And when I say your name, you come up. But you have to pay attention because I'm going to call your name when it's your turn to come up. And I'm like, okay, sure. But I was so scared about what I saw. Like, I wasn't paying attention. And I saw, like, this, like, little white girl, like, run across the, like, the stadium seating. And I, like, turned around, like, oh, like, there's, like, a random little girl in here. I look back at the stage, and my Middle Eastern friend is, like, hanging half off the stage, bloody and dead. And everybody's like, you didn't listen to him. You didn't pay attention. And now he's dead. And I'm like, what? So I like go find my husband and I'm freaking out and he comforts me and we're still in this like church compound thing. We're like in this room and he goes, it's okay. It's okay. Just come here. Like, let me just give you a hug. It's going to be fine. And like, I lean in to give him a kiss and he like pulls back and like all my teeth fall out. And I'm like, whoa. And then I'm looking for a priest and I'm like, okay, like, something's up. I need a priest, someone to help me. I'm running around looking for a priest. The priests are running away from me. And then I see my mom. This is so random. I see my mom and I run to my mom and my mom goes, come here, come here, come here, come here. And she tries to hide me in like this underground like bunker thing, but it's like really flat. So I have to lay on my back and like I'm facing up and like it's barely big enough for like me laying down to fit. So my hands are like up, kind of like stop, but I'm laying on my back and all of a sudden I hear someone come in and I hear like them like press down on my hands and that's when I wake up. I'm like, what does this mean?
That is oh my God, I got chills, like legit. I know, Christina, you hate it, but I literally got goosebumps.
I mean, no, literally got goosebumps is fine. What I can't stand is full body chills.
Yeah, so if anybody has had like a series of devil dreams.
Oh, I have them all the time.
Like, so I did a bunch of Googling, right? And I'm like, am I in danger? What's going on here? And like the theories, you know, run the gamut. There's a bunch of things, but the one I'm like, okay, if Like, even for skeptics, it's like, it could mean guilt. Like, you're feeling guilty about something. Usually shows up as a devil, but I'm like, I don't know. These are very, like, very, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, it's not just like a,
like, they were like too real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it feels so real too, like realer than the other dreams. Mm-hmm. It feels like all the emotions are real, like very strong.
Very strong, yeah. And it takes me like a good like 10 minutes to like wake up and be like, it was a dream. I'm awake. Like to like for me to come to terms like, okay, it wasn't real, just because the panic just kind of is still like flowing through.
Yeah, and then you wake up like I don't know. Are those like night terrors? Because I have those all the time too.
I don't know. And maybe. I don't.
I like wake up whenever I have like those kind of dreams. I usually wake up like straight up, like off the bed, like, oh my God, like just like sit up off the bed. Those things, I don't like those. I have those all the time. And like we were talking about before we started recording, a lot of the time they involve the apocalypse or like the world ending.
Yes. Yes.
And underwater.
Yes. So weird. Yeah. I always have like a tsunami or like I'm.
Or earth. For me, it was like an earthquake that brings in a tsunami too.
Yes. 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 All of those. And yeah, I don't know why every time.
Me too. And there's like a very vivid one that I've had reoccurring since I was a child. Mm-hmm. And one of them is like I used to live in San Francisco. For those that don't know. So, like, what's it called? I used to, like the apartment building that I used to live in. This dream, I'm always looking out of that window, of the bedroom window, up into the sky. And I'm underwater. And I could see, like, the entire apartment building and lots of places. And it's weird because that apartment building is blocked off by another building. But in this dream, it's, like, I'm able to see past it. And like all of San Francisco is underwater. And then I'm like just there in my little apartment and I look up and I could see whales swimming above it.
Are you panicking in your dream?
Yes, I am. I'm like, well, it's like I don't know what's going on. It's like a complete state of confusion. But whenever there's like this animal called the chambered nautilus, and I'm like terrified of it because of this dream. So I would have like a chambered nautilus float outside the window. And once I saw that, it would be full blown panic. And it's like the weirdest thing to be afraid of. And I'm afraid of this like animal, which I've never encountered, never will, because they like live deep in the ocean. But I'm like terrified of this creature because of this dream. And it's like a reoccurring dream I've had since I was a child. And it always begins by like this really bad, like either earthquake or a tornado. And it's always like one of the two. And it always ends up in all of San Francisco being flooded up to like the buildings. Yeah. Like, it's like the weirdest thing. And that's what I always have.
It's so odd.
And sometimes there are demons. Sometimes there's not. It's like, it's weird.
Yeah, it's creepy. Wow. It's creepy. Do you ever find yourself like you're panicked, but you're weirdly like
calm too?
Like you were able to think clearly. Like
yes,
okay,
yes, okay, I have. What I need to do. What is it called? What is it called? The dream's called. What is it called?
Like you like dictate your dream or like?
Yeah,
like,
lucid like, dreaming. Happens, there it is. It's called lucid.
Oh, lucid dreaming.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So I have that where I'm able to, I'm able to also know that I'm in a dream and that I'm dreaming in a dream. Like I know that I'm dreaming in a dream and I'm able to dictate what happens in the dream. And that's the only way I'm sometimes able to get out of these horrible nightmares.
Oh, okay. So it's a type of dream where the dreamer becomes aware that they're dreaming. I didn't know that. I had to look it up.
I'm never aware that I'm dreaming. But have you seen Behind Her Eyes?
Behind Her Eyes?
I have not.
No, let me see. You know what? Let me Google it. I might have. I watch a lot of stuff.
You have to watch it. It's about like weird dreams and creepy dreams. You should watch it. It's so good.
You know, like that's one of the reasons that I also did like the Billie Eilish Bury a Friend song, because I was like, yes, sleep paralysis demon, what's up? Hi friend, what's up?
But yeah, thanks for coming on. Those were very scary dreams. Hopefully I will not have any tonight.
Thank you guys for having me. This was super duper fun. Thank you.
Is there anywhere people can find your podcast, your socials, you know, all that?
Yeah. So Instagram or anywhere you get your podcasts is just Hijas de tu Madre Crime Pod. And we're on Instagram mostly and Twitter and Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, all the ones.
All the usuals. Awesome. The usuals. And we'll put a link in our show notes as well for it.
Thank you. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. It was great.
I agree. Yeah.
And if you're walking in the middle of the night and you hear a baby crying, don't look for it. Just leave it.
Don't.
It's gonna be a chamuco himself. Mm-hmm. Stay spooky. We'll catch everyone next week. Bye.
Bye.